This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome, everyone, to a special bonus episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and occasionally I'll be bringing you some bonus episodes highlighting some amazing individuals who are participating in some fun outdoor events or helping some incredible nonprofits, as well as some up-and-coming outdoor companies. Regular episodes will continue to come out on Mondays, and when we have a bonus episode, those will drop on Fridays. We have a new bonus episode this week featuring an amazing guest from Austin, Texas. His name is Justice, and you can follow him on Instagram at Justice Harker. In today's episode, Justice shares with us what it's like moving from eastern Canada to the great state of Texas. He also shares with us some of his most memorable hikes in and around Texas and the Southwest. Since moving to Austin, he's been able to build up an amazing hiking community through the Connect and Hike Outdoor Social Club. Their aim is to make hiking and camping accessible while promoting physical and mental well-being through inclusive hiking experiences that connect individuals with nature and the community. To learn more about how to get involved, be sure to check out the episode show notes for all the links. Without further ado, let's dive right into this episode featuring our guest, Justice. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I have a really exciting guest today on the podcast. He is doing something special in Texas. He was able to put together an amazing, not just hiking group, but social group called Connect and Hike. His name is Justice, and he'll be joining us and sharing what Texas has to offer as far as hiking and landscapes, but also kind of do a little bit of a deep dive into his personal hiking history. Thank you, Justice, for coming on the podcast. You know, one of the first questions we always like to ask our guests is how long they've been hiking for and how they kind of got started.
Hi, Ivan. Thanks for having me on. Really excited. My hiking history goes back about 20 years. I got my start in Canada, so maybe a little bit different. I got started in around Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada, where I'm from. Very green area, green boreal forests, and no shortage of trails, just trails and trails and trails. We're very proud. We have a lot of waterfalls around the area. And I have very fond memories of my mother taking me out as a child hiking. That was our activity, hiking and kayaking.
You know, I feel like Canada, the whole entire country, has some really great hiking opportunities that are they're different depending on the province that you're in, because you definitely have the beautiful Canadian Rockies over on the west side, but then the coastal hiking scene on the east side, and Saskatchewan that looks like the Midwest in the United States. It's just a beautiful and varied landscape that you guys have up there. Are there any hikes in particular, Justice, that kind of stick out for you that you enjoy maybe when you make it back north and visit?
Yeah, again, very blessed. Just for a little bit of context for your listeners. Yeah, I grew up just northeast of Maine. So very much, if you're familiar with what Maine looks like, that's kind of where what it looks like where I'm from. But yeah, really the big showstopper, it's called the Bay of Fundy, the Fundy footpath, super popular. That's one of our national parks up in Canada. And another one is just up around the Cabot Trail in the north of Nova Scotia. Again, super coastal, gorgeous, just gorgeous places to hike. Yeah, no shortage of trails, very solemn, just really connected with nature.
And, you know, I've experienced a big shift in my hiking landscape throughout the years. How was it moving from your hometown to Texas and that transition with the different landscape that Texas has to offer?
Yeah. So really strange. I was in working an office job in Toronto prior to coming to Texas. And the topography is so different. You know, I'd never seen a cactus. The soil here in Texas, so strange, depending on where you're hiking. Just this really heavy dirt that just seems to potentially cover your shoes, cover your pants. These burrs that just seem to stick everywhere when you're hiking. There's a lot of difference in just the ground level plants and just the lack of trees. Like often when we're hiking, you know, you can sometimes see for miles and miles because the trees are just so short, maybe due to lack of water, just the kinds of trees we have. Yeah, really just the topography, the cactus, the trees, less water, less streams. You'll hike one season, be flowing rivers. You'll hike the next three seasons and there'll be no water at all to be seen. So it's often funny to see people's faces when they look at all these photos on the internet, like, wow, we can't wait to see this gushing river. And it's just completely dry because we've had, you know, 100-degree weather for the last 2 months or month.
So when folks ask you, Justice, to describe the Texas hiking scene, how do you describe it?
Yeah, so I'd say here in Texas, we have a phenomenal hiking community. Yeah, it's just phenomenal. But if I were to describe it, I'd say it's very lively. It's definitely alive and well. But we don't seem to have a lot of these like intermediate expert hikers that you may see come out of maybe your region. But I would just say the most of our routes here are moderate routes. The popular ones around the urban areas. We only have a handful of intermediate routes that are well-trekked. So I'd say we have a huge, lively hiking community, but it's more of a, I don't mean this in a bad way at all, but it's more of a walking and hiking community. It's less of a kind of an intermediate one from my perspective. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just what kind of came out of, you know, the lack of elevation around Central Texas. We don't really have any, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but we don't really have a lot of real mountains in a short drive.
No, I'm right there with you, Justice. So I'm from the eastern side of Washington, where once you pass the Cascades, the best way I can describe it is it looks like multiple states in one. Like there's sections where I swear it looks like you're in Kansas with a bunch of hay fields and no mountains. Yeah. There's some high desert parts that make it look like the Southwest in Texas. So every state has its own hiking geography and landscape. And that's what makes it so unique when you do get to travel, because it's a break from what you know. And being able to experience different landscapes and topography, I think, is one of the joys of hiking. When it comes to Texas, I think when it comes to the hiking community, the big one that pops out is Big Bend National Park, that beautiful national park in southern Texas. But that's not the only impressive hiking spot in the state. What are some of your favorite spots in and around your neck of the woods that you like to visit? As well, have you had a chance to visit Big Bend National Park?
Yeah. So definitely been to Big Bend. It is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Again, logistically, it's tough. So Big Bend is about eight hours from Austin. It's even a bit further to get there from Houston, a bit further from Dallas. So it's tough to even tackle in a long weekend. So accessibility-wise, definitely low on the accessibility scale. The fastest way to get there, if you're not going to drive the 8 hours, is to fly into Midland, Texas, and then drive like 5 hours. So however you split it, very difficult to make it there easily. Unfortunately, more people can't go or don't go because of the transportation challenges. But honestly, one of my favorites is Guadalupe National Park in North Texas. Really, part of it is on the other side of the New Mexico border, more or less. And that's just an amazing mountain range. I think, again, it's about 7-8 hours, depending on the part of the park, from Central Texas. But if people can make it out there, they won't be disappointed. That's where we have our highest point in Texas, Guadalupe Peak, as well as just beautiful, beautiful canyons that just seem to go on forever. They're very solemn, which is huge for me. I love that. I mean, getting out of Austin, Texas, I can use a little bit of quiet. Yeah, so I really recommend Guadalupe. Carlsbad Caverns in New Mexico is just next door, which is another national park that may be lesser known. That's just a heck of an experience, too, if you're new to caves. Yeah, besides that, we have Garner State Park. It's gorgeous. And Lost Maples State Park is gorgeous. Those are just near San Antonio, but those are really worth checking out.
You know, one that caught my attention, and I'm not sure where it is, but it's on the Connect and Hike on Instagram. And the rock formations kind of look like they were melting is the best way to describe it.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm super glad you asked, Ivan. So Texas can be a little bit funny. So we have a bunch of different authorities that kind of operate our parks. So that park's operated by Travis County Parks. So they have 26 parks in Travis County they operate. Travis County is kind of colloquially almost Austin, but it kind of extends north and south a bit further than the city. So that park's about 40 minutes from Austin, Texas, southwest, in a town called Dripping Springs. It's called Milton Reimers Ranch. And it's so cool because it's not only one of the coolest hiking destinations, but also one of the coolest rock climbing destinations in the state. But it's a real gem. Yeah, we love going out there. It's, again, just one of those things that is so awesome. You're walking on the flat ground. You're looking at all these gorgeous cactus and then these sudden escapes into these caves with these crazy rock formations. Yeah, you really just get it all there. Yeah, and no cell service too.
Yeah. Is there plenty of trail systems that he can hike on, or is it like one main trail?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, there's about two well-marked trails. So yeah, you know, you're not really going to get lost, which is great if you stay on trail. Anyway, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And, again, one of the gems of Texas hiking and rock climbing, which is also very popular here. I'd say rock climbing is almost as popular as hiking and maybe more popular. Okay.
Now, we've been talking about the differences in both our states, but for listeners, how would you describe each region of Texas when it does come to hiking? So like the north compared to southern, the west and the east, what are some key differences that you've noticed?
That's a really good question. So basically, when we go west, we're getting, you know, more of a desert landscape. I mean, you're hitting, depending on where you're going west, if you're going southwest, you're going to hit Big Bend kind of mountain range, which also goes into Mexico, which is really interesting. If you take it all the way down there, honestly, they say that I haven't done it myself, but the hiking on the Mexico side is apparently even more picturesque. And then if you go north, kind of towards New Mexico, you're getting the Guadalupe Mountains. And I try to put it into words. I'd say those two areas, to me, look comparable. So kind of the north and the south. But yeah, if you go east, you're getting kind of a marshier existence, depending on where you're going, kind of towards Louisiana, towards East Texas. Just outside of Houston, there's Sam Houston State Park, which is really popular. And, you'll find crocodiles. I always get this confused, but crocodiles or alligators there. You'll kind of find some marshlands. So you get a little bit of that. And yeah, if you go west, you're getting more of a desert. There's a lot of this wild plant that grows up there called sotol, kind of like agave. You'll see tons and tons of that. Yeah, but I'd say far west Texas isn't very popular, in my opinion, hiking-wise.
I know we've talked about the accessibility, but I think one positive thing where Texas is located is when you do travel out of state, you're centrally located, so it's not too long of a flight if you go to the West Coast or the East Coast. What are some of your favorite states or even countries that you like to visit and maybe hike and explore?
That's a great question. When it comes to hiking, to be honest with you, my last international hiking trip was supposed to be to Pakal in Morocco. So that was slated for January. So just at the start of the COVID pandemic. So that didn't materialize. But before that, I had just an amazing time hiking in Norway. And I'd love to go back there and do more hiking. And that was the biggest mountain I did there, I believe, was Gastotoppen. And I'm sorry, terrible. My Norwegian is non-existent. But really recommend that in terms of other states in the U.S. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm biased because I just came from there and I'm from that region kind of. But Maine, I mean, really, Maine is just something else hike-wise, and I think severely underrated. Yeah, I mean, it's the start of the Appalachian Trail, Mount Katahdin. Yeah, there's no shortage of hiking there, no shortage. They have some amazing outfitters too. L.L. Bean is from there. Yeah, really think it's an underrated state for hiking.
Were you able to visit Acadia National Park?
Yeah, that was kind of the bulk of my trip, was seeing Acadia. And yeah, there's something about hiking along the coast that you just can't beat. Seeing the otters, if you're lucky, you may see whales breaking, puffins, like you can kind of see it all. And so the food's tremendous.
Yeah, definitely the seafood there all along the Northeast. Now, just as for me personally, my favorite national park, and this is worldwide, is Banff National Park. So I'm going to flip the script on you and ask you, what's been your favorite national park to visit in the U.S.?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? The irony is that I haven't spent much time out of Texas. I mean, I came here as a migrant worker, more or less. So favorite national park for me is again, biased because I'm ignorant what I haven't explored. But Guadalupe National Park is a real favorite just because if you have a chance to go to McKittrick Canyon, which is, we're talking like on the other side, you have to drive through New Mexico to get there. Like the mountain range kind of forces you to go through New Mexico and then double back to Texas. There's just something ineffable about it. It has this ineffable quality that I just can't explain, that I haven't had anywhere else.
Yeah, I've only made it to White Sands National Park. That's definitely wanted to add Guadalupe, but I underestimated the distance that you have to drive southwest in order to reach some locations. Now, Justice, you're a newly minted fellow podcaster. By the time we're recording this, your first episode has come out. But that's not the only special thing that you're doing there in Texas. Can you share with the listeners a little bit about Connect and Hike and its origin story?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah. So again, you know, it's funny. I sometimes call myself a migrant worker. That is my reality, but it's a much softer reality than most migrant workers. You know, I came from Canada, I came from a Western country, but yeah, I moved here as a migrant worker to the United States from Canada. And, you know, when you're moving internationally for work, it's very easy to become all work and no play. So really, I had been here for about a year, was severely burned out, And, you know, really felt like I was lacking community and really felt like I was lacking movement and just, you know, a sense of being in the outdoors. So I started Connect and Hike really as my own way to just kind of make friends around nature and recreation, because it was all too easy to make friends around, you know, all kinds of other things. But, you know, to make friends around something constructive and something healthy, something that would help me with my burnout. So yeah, that was kind of my journey. Shortly into it, I met tons and tons of people who, you know, would approach me and say, hey, you know, this means so much more to me than you could imagine. You know, I hadn't been out of my house in 2 years. It was also kind of the end of the pandemic. So that kind of lined up. And to have this community to come to means tons. I meet people and say, hey, you know, I'm going through a divorce or I'm going through this or that. Just recently, someone said, you know, my husband, there's a malpractice case. Her husband had died due to a mishandling by paramedics. So, you know, just all these really heart-wrenching stories would come out. And I realized, okay, this is less about hiking and more about a healthy community. Community is so important, but sometimes to find an apolitical community can be really tough, especially in 2023. It feels like we're a bit of a divided country. So people were super comfortable to kind of meet and mingle around hiking. And it really, really took off, because all we ask of people is to kind of show up and hike. Obviously, conservation is a big part of what we're trying to do now, raise money for organizations around that help with those efforts. But that's very ancillary. First and foremost, we're just focused on making a healthy community. And we know that basically if people come hiking with us, it'll produce positive outcomes in their lives and then hopefully in their communities.
You guys have grown tremendously ever since you started it. Do you know roughly what your membership count is right now?
Yeah, so we're somewhere between like 14 and 15,000 members.
Wow.
In terms of members, yeah, in terms of members who have, you know, given us their name and their information, that's easy to access. I mean, we take RSVPs by email. We take RSVPs in a bunch of different ways. So it's hard to say. That number could be higher. I mean, we also have members who maybe have fallen off. So I don't like to say we definitively have X or Y, but yeah, we're definitely a strong community I'll leave it at that.
You've mentioned it, but you guys have been able to put together some group hikes that the community can join. What are some of the memorable hikes that you've been able to put over the last couple of years?
Yeah, so we put on over 108 free events a year, free hikes. And our average attendance is between 50 and 150 participants, which is really exciting and sometimes difficult to manage. But yeah, the most memorable hikes for me are always the ones where either something unintended occurs or I just have a really meaningful conversation with someone about their hiking journey. One I always mention is I remember We were at Bull Creek, which is just near the Domain in Austin, Texas. So Bull Creek is just north of the downtown. It's very popular for hiking. And, you know, I had speaking with a very intelligent person, and she admitted that it wasn't just her first time hiking, but it was her first time on a trail, which was,
wow.
Yeah. She was coming from Mumbai, India. She moved to Austin for work. And very much an intellectual, but just, I think it was just so humbling. I always keep that one close to my heart before criticizing anybody out there on the trail, because you don't know someone's background. It may very well be their first time on a trail, let alone their first time hiking. That one was very interesting. And again, I just can't shake it. Can't shake that conversation.
So I know outside of the group hikes, you're also doing some other great activities to try to bring conservation to the forefront and be able to interact with your community members. What are some other ways folks can get involved with the Connect and Hike community?
Big part of Connect and Hike, you know, I'll be straightforward. I've been very blessed that we've been able to do it, because it's not just me now. We have a bunch of dedicated individuals who are all necessary to make this work. But we do our best to keep most everything we do free and of no cost. So that all ties into the accessibility portion of Connected Hike. We also, if you want to get involved, we also do intro to backpacking workshops free of cost. The only other person who offers it in town is REI. I mean, it's kind of a nominal cost, but it's still $85. So we do what we can to offer basically anything someone could need to get involved, to try to break down as many barriers as possible to get somebody out into the woods. And a huge gap I've noticed is kind of a financial gap. Just like, you know, when you really sit back and think what it could cost to get somebody who's never been on a trail onto a trail. You know, it sounds funny, but the cost can really add up, and that can be a huge deterrent. So we have intro to backpacking classes, 100 plus hikes a year. We have accessible hikes. So even if you're in a wheelchair, you can get involved. Really small gradient. But yeah, other ways, if you want to get involved, we do trail cleanups. That's huge. We do a lot of trail cleanups. We partner with trail running groups, for instance, and we help them. We'll camp overnight, help them clean up the trail. So yeah, we just do what we can to be kind of an interdisciplinary group of passionate hikers who are trying to address gaps in conservation around Central Texas at the moment, and also just to address gaps in basically why people aren't outdoors and aren't enjoying these great gifts we have around us.
Oh, that's beautiful, man. And thanks. I'm glad you touched on it, because I just started backpacking this year. And even though I try to stay within budget, in order to lighten the load, you have to spend substantial amount of funds to make things lighter. And that's one big barrier that I think stops a lot of people from transitioning from day hikers to backpackers, because sometimes you got to spend a couple $100 just to get the essentials. So the fact that you guys are doing workshops where they get a good idea of what to expect is amazing. And, you know, I was up in the Enchantments recently, which is one of Washington State's prized gems, where you have to submit a permit lottery. I think you have a 6% chance to get a permit. And while we were there, we saw a group of rangers that were hiking, and each one of them had a garbage bag full of trash. And this is like supposed to be a pristine area of the state. And to see that was kind of disheartening, that they had to pick up that trash. And that was only 6 miles into the, you know, 18, 20 miles that they were putting in. So the fact that you guys are doing that, that's amazing. Cause I think regardless of your background in hiking, just knowing that, well, you pack out what you pack in, and then if you do see something, to try to just leave it better than how you found it.
Yeah, and I'll jump on that. Another thing we try to do is things like Leave No Trace. We try to educate our hikers, because we're very aware that, you know, if it's your first time on a trail, your interaction with us may also be, again, just your intro to hiking. So we want to do our best to give you the tools necessary to have a pleasant and basically a pleasant Leave No Trace kind of existence on the trail too. So we try to educate our hikers on Leave No Trace the best we can, which, again, is near and dear to my heart, because that what you mentioned bothers me more than anything. You know, people may not know any better. You don't know people's backgrounds. You just don't know. So without being too critical, we just want to make sure that everybody's set up for success out there, you know, whether it's in the backcountry or front country. But yeah, when you mentioned costs with backpacking, I totally, totally agree. And I think it's not talked about enough, just how cost prohibitive or pay to play, so to speak, backpacking can be. And we adamantly want to make that as accessible to people as possible, whether that's teaching free intro to backpacking. I mean, I'm even just at home right now. I mean, I lend gear out all the time. Part of it is because I grew up in such a secluded part of the Northeast, is we didn't have an outfitter. So it was very much kind of just make and do with what you had. So I always try to tell people, you know, don't go buy something. Maybe I can lend it to you. Maybe somebody else can lend it to you. Or I can give you some really, I don't want to say greasy, but some really, you know, some kind of Jimmy way to get through it, you know? Yeah, because I hate the idea that it's a pay-to-play experience. Like, yeah, you can't see the Cascade Mountain Range unless you have $5,000 to put into X, Y, and Z. I hate that because I don't want hiking to be elitist. I want it to be, you know, for everybody.
Oh, that's awesome, Justice. You know, kind of adding a little bit to the backpacking barrier. I was able to take one of my best friends from high school. We've known each other since elementary school on his first backpacking trip on this enchantment trip. And I had all the essentials already. So I figured, you know, just get the things that you'll need or that he'll need. So I made him a list of like, you know, you'll need a backpack, sleeping bag, just, you know, personal items that he'll need. And then we'll share the tent and all the other supplies. And he still had to spend, I want to say he ended up spending close to $500 just for like bare minimum stuff. So, and I think that's where communities like the one you're building comes in handy, because you can ask like, hey, do you have this? I'm going to go on a trip. And instead of buying it, you know, borrowing it, seeing if it works for you. And then if it is something, you can commit to it and then buy it.
Yeah, we're super keen on that. I mean, I feel like, you know, accessibility, a little background about me, for years, I actually also worked in the nonprofit sector with the Deaf and Blind Canada. So there's a lot of focus there on physical accessibility. But now it's still near and dear to my heart. I did a lot of volunteering in that field too. But what I notice is that, you know, the financial accessibility piece is huge. So we're doing what we can, whether it's using money from sponsors to purchase these items in bulk so we can lend them out, or working with our local outfitters to basically work on these kind of programs so we can lend gear that way. But yeah, we're really trying to do our darndest to make it work, because we want to get people out there. And I totally understand, you know, I've been in a place in life enough times where it's like, okay, you know, I'd love to do this or that, but you know, I don't have the funds. So the financial accessibility piece is huge. And yeah, it's just very close to my heart. Huge barrier for a lot of people.
You know, one thing that I always like to ask our guests is if they have, whether it's a summit routine or end of the hike routine, you know, for some guests, it's maybe packing a favorite snack or having an after hike meal. Maybe it's some sort of trail beverage or even just a moment of zen once you reach your destination. Is there a regular custom that you do once you make it to your summit or maybe when you make it back out?
I do more group hiking than solo hiking these days. But if I'm solo hiking, if I'm at a summit, I like to just chill there, maybe take a nap. Maybe drink some electrolyte powder. That's kind of my ritual. But yeah, if I'm with a group, it's usually we'll go have a meal afterward. Or I mean, in Texas, it's awesome. I mean, get some barbecue or something, just reminisce, maybe have a beverage, usually like a non-alcoholic beverage in the mornings afterward. We're very blessed. We have a lot of beverage sponsors who keep us nice and hydrated. We might have a beverage and, to be transparent, take a photo and, you know, put that into the media kit. Yeah. And then use that money to buy camping and hiking supplies and keep the train running. So
now, Justice, when it comes to your pack list, do you pack a luxury item that falls outside of the 10 essentials?
Oh, that's a good question. Got a harmonica. I pack that most of the time.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, harmonica and a deck of cards is usually my go-to. Yeah. Those are the two.
Okay. I like that. That's, I think the harmonica's a first on the podcast.
Cool.
So that's really cool, man. Now, throughout all your hikes and travels, has there been any close calls, whether it's, you know, losing your way for a little bit, maybe an unexpected wildlife encounter, or maybe just Mother Nature threw you a curveball and caught you by surprise? Have you had any of those incidents?
You know, I'll always be transparent. When I started doing this, by no means did I ever pretend to be a master mountaineer. I always felt like I was a community guy first and kind of a hiker second. Thankfully, now I have lots of well-trained individuals, certified individuals who lead a lot of this stuff. But yeah, I definitely definitely got myself into some goofy situations. One in particular, we do group trips now. We try to keep the cost down. So we try to charge about 200% less than what REI would charge, for example, for like a group hiking trip. So we're pretty proud of that. And we're doing what we can to get that price even further down. But yeah, we had an encounter where group hiking trips are an interesting animal. You know, we really try to have people come out hiking with us in more of a sandbox environment before we go on a trip. But just in this situation, I green-lighted somebody for a trip who may not have been ready or comfortable. So definitely the hairiest situation I found myself in was basically I had an individual on the top of a mountain range, you know, at, you know, 10,000, 11,000 feet, who was trying to get a helicopter evac off the mountain. But not because of anything physical. I just think the individual is new to the mental discomfort. I was very blessed. We had a nurse on that hike who was a veteran nurse who was very comfortable with her continuing. So I had a lot of good, I had a lot of great people around. But yeah, that was definitely one of the toughest situations, having an individual who, it felt very bad. Again, I didn't put that person there, but it definitely made me, as much as I try to make hiking and camping accessible, I realized that there is a huge safety component that we take so much more seriously now, because I never want to see somebody like that again, you know, just in that mental turmoil.
And that's the beauty of hiking is, you know, some of those challenges are great learning experiences for the rest of your hiking career, as they say.
Yeah.
But I'm glad, you know, things worked out. And there's been moments where I think I can climb a mountain and it's like, maybe I should adjust to 10,000 feet, see how that feels before I hit a 14er.
Yeah. And you know what? What I will say, and I always, when I tell people the story, you know, with the motivation from the group, that individual did complete the hike and ultimately came out of that injury free. So, but I think the person definitely realized that they were more capable than they thought. But again, it's just, it really outlined that it could have been worse.
Now, Justice, Austin is known for so many things, you know, the music scene, the food scene, the nightlife, and now the hiking scene. So if any of our listeners are visiting Austin and maybe they want to get a hike in, what are some of the ways they can get involved and possibly do a hike with Connect and Hike?
On our website, you can see our hike list until the end of 2024, which is awesome. So that's about at least two events every week. Nice. Until the end of 2024. If you're on our Instagram, you can find it in our link tree. It's just our hike schedule. If you're on meetup.com, you can find us there. Eventbrite, or even on a new platform called Geneva. If you yell loud enough, I'll try to hear you. I have big ears. You know, we're doing what we can to really, you know, really get it out there. Oh, Facebook as well. Sorry, Facebook. But that's a huge part of it too. And I guess that's kind of my one, I don't want to solicit advice, but kind of my one piece of advice to anyone who's looking to start a hiking club, and I welcome people to start them, is just you have to be, you know, just schedule out. I know it's tough, but schedule out. Most of our members here in Austin, Texas it's a very kind of white collar, a lot of white collar individuals, a lot of kind of high tech individuals who maybe have, you know, who need that notice, you know? So honestly, a lot of our success, I mean, I like to think we're just great people, but a lot of our success is just due to the fact that we just schedule really far out, you know, give people that flexibility, give people those options. Like, you know, I could look at my phone and somebody might be RSVPing for a hike in December of 2024 right now, which may seem strange, but there's people out there who, just because of their job or their family, or I don't know what they got going on, but they need that time. So that has honestly been the best feedback I've got from the group, is just keep scheduling far out in advance. And it means a lot to them. And it also helps them know that you're not going anywhere too. And they have that consistency in their lives. So they can put it in Google Calendar, hike at 8 a.m. on Saturday, and then just click repeat event.
And we'll be sure to grab those links and put it on the episode show notes so people can access them. Now, we're well over halfway through 2023, Justice. Do you have any personal hiking goals that you have planned for the remainder of 2023?
So personal hiking goals, you know, I have a few more hiking trips planned. But, you know, I have something called the Bataan Memorial. It sounds intense. The Bataan Memorial Death March. That's going on in White Sands National Park in March of 2024. So it's 26 miles through the desert at the White Sands missile base, basically, in New Mexico. And it's in memorial of the U.S. soldiers who found themselves interned in the Philippines. Again, I'm not the best with history here. It's very much affiliated with the, I think the U.S. military is kind of, they kind of put it on. But I mean, it's not a military event by any means. But the funds go towards, you know, families of those individuals and all the funds raised. And also it's just, I really just want to push myself. I've never pushed myself to hike 26 miles with a ruck on. So it's going to be a ruck hike and there's weight divisions. Yeah, so we're going to be doing that. That's kind of separate from Connect and Hike.
So that was it, Justice, for the regular questions. This next section of the podcast is the this or that questions, where I'm going to give you two hiking related topics and you just choose the one that you prefer out of the two.
Okay.
So the first one is, do you prefer ascending or descending?
Oh, yeah, ascending. Ascending.
And then this one's a tough one, but waterfalls or summits?
Waterfalls. Wow, that's a tough one. I didn't think that'd be tough.
Yeah, they get a little harder, but this one's a interesting one. When you are climbing a mountain, do you prefer switchbacks or straight up?
Oh, straight up. Yeah, straight up with my hiking poles. Yeah, that's the move.
Okay, so perfect. This leads to the next question. Trek poles or freehand?
Yeah, trek poles. Yeah, and it's funny. I push trek poles on so many young hikers, and I think, you know, I always get kind of a weird look. There's a weird stigma around trek poles, but huge trek pole fan. I want to see you hike until you're like 100. I don't want to hear about meniscus and knee stuff. You know, I just want to see you healthy. So trek poles.
And this one's a newer one that I've been seeing on the trails. But when it comes to your feet, do you prefer trail runners or hiking boots?
Yeah, so I'm big on hiking boots. Yeah, I don't know. I just get enough of them. I love them. I kind of feel like Tomb Raider or something when I wear my hiking boots. I feel extra cool, especially the hiking boot short combination. Can't beat it.
Yeah. Right on. And then for trail systems, do you prefer a loop trail or an out and back trail?
Yeah, loop, level loop trail.
And when you come across a body of water, do you jump in or do you stay dry?
Always jump in. We were just at, you know, Arcadia National Park up in Maine for a week. And I bullied, proud to say it, I bullied a bunch of hikers into swimming with me in the ocean. It was, it was posted, and this is still August. It was posted that the water was like 55 Fahrenheit or 13 degrees Celsius. So it was chilly and we stayed in there. Yeah, always jump in, always.
Now this one's a tough one because I feel like you guys get both of these really well, but sunsets or sunrises?
Yeah, I think a sunrise because it, you know, you really, depending on where you are, you really have to earn that. The last sunrise I saw meant a 3 a.m. wake up and, you know, an hour and a half commute and then running up 900 feet to catch it. And those are the ones that you're just not forgetting anytime soon.
And this one's tough because I think growing up, you probably had a preference on one of these, but spring wildflowers or fall colors?
Whew. Yeah, I mean, you got me. I mean, growing up in Eastern Canada, you know, like maple syrup capital of the world, basically, definitely fall colors. Hard to beat. Just takes you back. Something about it.
And this one's the most controversial one, Justice, but do you tag a hike or do you not tag a hike on social media?
Oof. So, you know what? If I had more time, I'd probably tag more hikes. I don't tag a hike, but if I had more time, I'd probably tag them all because, again, our goal here is to get people out there. And so always tagging hikes.
Well, that was it for the questions, Justice. You know, one more time, can you share with our listeners how they can follow along, not just on social media, but also be able to get involved in some upcoming events with Connect and Hike?
Sure, yeah. So our website, connectandhike.com, you can find us there. It's not the be-all, end-all of websites. It's a pretty humble website. You can get us there, connectandhike.com. Find our podcast, anywhere you listen to your podcasts, that'll be a thing. But yeah, really, connectandhike.com. We're fairly active on Instagram, so you can DM us there too. We're super happy to chat with you. Yeah, but just come out. Everybody's welcome. I don't think we've ever really put a cap on events. I'm lying to you, actually. we've never put a cap on our Saturday or Sunday regional hikes. So if you're around on a Saturday or Sunday, you're guaranteed to be able to hike with us, basically, as it stands now.
Awesome. I'll be sure to list all those links in the episode show notes. And, you know, I haven't had a chance to make it back to Austin since the pandemic, and I definitely want to do that in the next year. So I'll definitely be checking you guys out when I do make it out. And it'd be great to be able to participate in one of your regional hikes.
We'd be happy to host you. Again, Austin is not to, I'll plug Austin quickly, but yeah, you get it all here, hiking, music, comedy, you can't beat it. And if you're going to see Guadalupe or Big Bend, you got to fly in somewhere and you got to drive. You may as well fly into Austin, see a comedy show, and just have the best week of your life.
All right, Justice, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ivan. Appreciate it. And yeah, I wish you all the success. Again, your podcast was a huge inspiration for us to start a less exciting podcast about, kind of just conservation in and around Central Texas. So totally appreciate you.
Well, right back at you, Justice. It's definitely something that I've been wanting to do for the last 6 months, is build out a community hiking group for my region, because in and around Seattle, there's plenty of hiking groups, but for Central and Eastern Washington, there's not too much. And you know, what you're doing there in Texas is amazing and inspiring. And I'm hoping I can follow in your footsteps and be able to build out a community.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, they could definitely use you. And it's really special. I mean, like I tell people, the community does most of the work. You know, it's just, give them a platform to come together. So, and you're already kind of doing that. So I think that they'd be very lucky to have you.
Appreciate that, Justice. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Thank you once again to Justice for joining us on our latest bonus episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. Be sure to follow him on Instagram at Justin Harker, as well as Connect and Hike at @connect_and_hike. Be sure to check out the links in the episode show notes to learn more about how to get involved. We'll be putting out bonus episodes throughout the spring and summer, along with our regular episodes on Monday. Please be sure to like and subscribe to not miss out on those. Be sure to also follow us on Instagram at Hikes and Mikes. Happy trails, everyone. This episode's music was created by Ketza. Follow him on Instagram at Ketza Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.